Our Old Testament reading for this eighth Sunday after Pentecost is from Ecclesiastes chapters 1 and 2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun. Behold, all is vanity, and the striving after the wind. I hated all my toil in which I toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toil, and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything and be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of his heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is a vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting. Only to give to the one who pleases God. This also is a vanity, a striving after wind. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to a man, "Who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plenty. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. There's no way I'm preaching my final sermon in this pulpit from that sourpuss of Ecclesiastes, except to second the notion towards the end. There's nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This is from the hand of God. In the past 14 plus years, at least for me, have been such an enjoying toil, a blessing from the hand of God. But the warnings of the lectionary texts this week are fruitful pondering for a final sermon, because the warning is against taking stock of a certain kind. The warning is against trying to sum up everything and enter into some type of personally won rest. And that's what often final sermons end up being about, at least the samples that I've read in preparation. They're the gross ones. Look at how much we have done. They're the ones who at least wash that sentiment through God. Look at how much God has accomplished through us. But so many of them struck me as versions of the guy in the Gospel lesson. Look at the job we have done for the kingdom. We serve to relax, eat, drink, and be merry over us. But I think they're fruitful meditation for two reasons. The first reason is that it reminds us whose the church is. Any individual pastor is but an under-shepherd. Christ is the good shepherd. He knows all of the numbers, and not a single one of them will be lost to him. As an under-shepherd, I commit you to the care of the good shepherd. And there really isn't a discontinuity, because Christ is always present for his church. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, Christ is there. And that will continue. And God is superabundant in his means of grace. That's from the Luther Confession, Luther's small called articles. It's always been my favorite quote from them. And then Luther starts to list all of the ways. The spoken word, which continues in the lessons read, and you'll get to hear some other voices other than mine. Baptism, which you pass a remembrance of every time you enter into here. The supper will continue, maybe on different timing for a while, but it will be here. The pronouncement of the absolution, if not by the called and ordained servant, from the promise of the Good Shepherd himself. And the last thing that Luther reminds us of is the mutual conversation and consolation of the brethren, the priesthood of all believers. The under-shepherd may hold the keys for a bit for public use. They always belong to Christ's church. God is superabundant in his grace. And the good shepherd remains the head of this church with all of his gifts. For the second reason, I really want to segue from the shepherd image to one of the vineyard. The vineyard is the Lord's, he works. But he also calls workers to the vineyard. The vineyard remains here, and it remains fruitful. And you all are called to work. Some of that work will be the same. Some of it will be different. And it will be work. We don't live in Eden, nor in the New Jerusalem, where those trees produce 12 crops a year. But this work is not vanity. This Its work is not a striving after the wind, but it's a fruitful labor. For it's a toil that you may find enjoyment in because it is from the hand of God. It's a laboring beside the Lord of the vineyard. Because God builds his kingdom and he invites us to take part with it. For a time, you won't have an under-shepherd. But that time is to remember some important things. The shepherd is Christ. And we are called to find enjoyment working beside Jesus. And Jesus has already taken stock. He's done that when he sealed each and every one of you before the foundation of the world. Enough of the lessons. Like Paul talking to the Ephesian elders. I don't know that I shall see you this side of the New Jerusalem. Arizona's a long way away. Maybe some of you will find me in the desert someday. Maybe I'll get another child to go to my alma mater and take a trip up here. Don't know. Here are the things that I do know. You have certainly been a blessing to me and to my family, and we thank you for putting up with us for 14 plus years and taking care of us so well. I believe that I preached the gospel and taught everything that Jesus gave to us through the apostles. We proclaimed the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Forgive my faults. They are mine. And if my ministry was of some good, know that it was not the servant, but the Lord. And keep the faith, which I know that you will do. Because that faith is not by human effort. It's the living work of the Holy Spirit within you. And that work that I have seen bear so much fruit in so many different ways these years, as it will continue to do so in the future with whoever the Good Shepherd sends. It's a work. It's a toil. But an enjoyment, because the work done for the kingdom will last. And I know that you shall always be in my presence. As you entered them on a call day almost around 15 years ago and have not left them since then, you will not leave my presence. Those closest to my heart. And I ask you to keep us in yours. And now, I commend you to the Father and to the word of his grace, Jesus Christ our Lord, and to the Holy Spirit who lives mightily in you, who is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance, who has called, gathered, enlightened, sanctified, and keeps every one of us in this body of Christ. Amen.